glistening silver trout tumbled in the current, and the surface of the water was ringed with gold wherever the soft green leaves of a tree touched it. I had no doubt the gown was woven of pure silk, and so was the obi, embroidered in pale greens and yellows. And her clothing wasn't the only extraordinary thing about her. Her face was painted a kind of rich white, like the wall of a cloud when lit by the sun. Her hair, fashioned into lobes, gleamed as darkly as lacquer, and was decorated with ornaments carved out of amber and with a bar from which tiny silver strips dangled, shimmering as she moved. This was my first glimpse of Hatsumomo. At the time, she was one of the most renowned geisha in the district of Gion, though, of course, I didn't know any of this then. She was a petite woman, the top of her hairstyle reached no higher than Mr. Baku's shoulder. I was so startled by her appearance that I forgot my manners, not that I had developed very good manners yet, and stared directly at her face. She was smiling at me, though not in a kindly way, and then she said, "Mr. Baku, could you take out the garbage later? I'd like to be on my way." There was no garbage in the entryway. She was talking about me. Mr. Baku said he thought Hatsumomo had enough room to pass. "You may not mind being so close to her," said Hatsumomo, "but when I see filth on one side of the street, I cross to the other." Suddenly, an older woman, tall and knobby, like a bamboo pole, appeared in the doorway behind her. "I don't know how anyone puts up with you, Hatsumomo-san," said the woman, but she gestured for Mr. Baku to pull me onto the street again, which he did. After this, she stepped down into the entryway very awkwardly, for one of her hips jutted out and made it difficult for her to walk, and crossed to a tiny cabinet on the wall. She took from it something that looked to me like a piece of flint, along with a rectangular stone, like the kind fishermen use to sharpen their knives, and then stood behind Hatsumomo and struck the flint against the stone, causing a little cluster of sparks to jump onto Hatsumomo's back. I didn't understand this at all, but you see, geishas are more superstitious even than fishermen. A geisha will never go out for the evening until someone has sparked a flint on her back for good luck. After this, Hatsumomo walked away, using such tiny steps that she seemed to glide along the bottom of her kimono, fluttering just a bit. I didn't know that she was a geisha at the time, for she was worlds above the creature I'd seen in Senzuru a few weeks earlier. I decided she must be some sort of stage performer. We all watched her float away, and then Mr. Baku handed me over to the older woman in the entryway. He climbed back into the rickshaw with my sister, and the driver raised the poles. But I never saw them leave, because I was slumped down in the entryway in tears.